very important guest, I suppose, the media as well. Also, because it's a really new year, to welcome you all, as well as the very important department, the Portfolio Secretariat under our secretary. We are very happy to come back to the duty. It's going to be a normal procedure. The whip is going to, once we have read the apologies and other things, will inform us if we are correcting, so that we do the right thing. The presentation or briefing notes are being distributed to all of us. The agenda is in front of us, is mine. All right, thank you, thank you. And then, as the agenda stands, what we are going to do now is going to, I'll give to the secretary to inform us of any apologies. And then we will not really waste time. And I don't also want to eat from your time. You know how grateful I am that we are all back at work. So I will not spend more time on your welcome. We can always talk during lunch and other things. So thank you for coming. Can I allow the secretary to do a job?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and departmental officials in presence. I have two apologies from MPs. One is from Honorable Abrahams. She indicated that she won't be with us today. She's attending an oversight visit with the PC on sports. One is from Honorable Toledi. She has a bereavement. Her father-in-law passed away. Another one is from the minister. She indicated that she won't be with us today. She is attending a cabinet of Portland Pretoria. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. You will advise me if there's any omission legally that I am doing. But I think now we go straight to the briefing.
Sorry, but Chair, if I may raise the point of order.
Yes, you are welcome.
Chair, I am extremely concerned about where we're sitting at the moment. The fact that the minister, who is accountable for this, what is bordering on a national disaster, is not here is not acceptable. She is the accountable person for this department. Last week, this meeting was postponed because we were told she was going to the ANC Lekgotla. We then discovered she was in Ethiopia launching an ANC Women's League task team. Today, a very important meeting that involves the lives of 17 million people, and she is at another Lekgotla. What is more important to the minister, 17 million South Africans or the ANC Lekgotla? This portfolio committee cannot allow for party politics to take preference over South Africans. I do not accept her apology, and I would like that noted, please. I think it's a damn disgrace. Thank you.
Indeed, that is being noted. But, Honorable Van der Merwe?
Yes, Chairperson. In fact, firstly, I need to ask a question as to whether why we only received these documents at 5 o'clock yesterday. I'm raising this because in terms of the rules and procedures of Parliament, any submissions to portfolio committees must be received 48 hours before. So I would like to get an indication from the department and even the committee staff why the document was forwarded to us so late, considering that this meeting was essentially initially scheduled for last week. Secondly, I think also as a portfolio committee, we were taken aback when we in good faith accepted the minister's apology last week that she was to attend the ANC Lekgotla, although I do not think that ANC business should ever take precedence over what we do at Parliament, considering that 1 April it's a few days away, and this department has got absolutely no contingency plan. No plan. In fact, they resort to briefing stakeholders in Johannesburg. They have resorted to briefing Morning Live this morning, where I had to watch a briefing before coming to Parliament today on issues pertaining to SASSA and the payouts. So I really would also like to put on record my unhappiness that we are not able to engage with the minister. You will remember that last year, November, during question time, we asked the minister questions about SASSA and whether they'll be ready to take over the grant payment system. Then the minister assured us...
Excuse me, honourable member. We have started to discuss now, yet we are not yet there. I don't know what to do because all the matters you're raising, you're already in the discussion. Yet we're still coming. You are going to have the whole time to say what you want to.
Honourable
Pulani,
I'll wrap up.
I'll come back. I'll give
you
another
time. No, but I don't
think,
Chairperson, when a member is on the floor, you can tell me that. I don't know. There's nothing in the rules that says my time's expired. I'm wrapping up, Chairperson. With respect, I would just want to say that we're also concerned about the minister not being available to engage with us today about this very critical national issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Member, we are still going. That was raised. What you were doing, you were supporting Honourable Wilson, that you're rejecting. So we are going to come to your rejection. Can you allow then other members to say what they want to say? Then we come to the discussion.
Chairperson, order, please. Can I be noted?
There's an order, Honourable Member. Mama Pulani?
No, Chairperson, thank you, and welcome to everyone. I know in terms of the procedures of the meeting, the chairperson will open the meeting, and what I know, the culture of this committee will introduce ourselves. Then after, we'll go to the apologies, whether we accept them or not. And the fact that is happening now, we can't take it. Can we follow the process, then after we'll engage? Because now you're closing for us. What if we're having a new member in this committee, and we don't know who that member is? Can you please, Chairperson, do your duty and follow the processes of the meeting? Then after, we are ready to engage with the issue of the ANC, the AU, and everything. Then we'll go and answer whatever that is coming on. Thank you.
Honourable, the whip, Mama Malchas.
Thanks. I agree with the Honourable Member because we're just going into argumentative mood because I'm supposed to say whether there's a quorum. We do have a quorum. So I'm satisfied with that. And whatever discussions there are on SASSA, let us leave it for the discussions. I agree with Honourable Pulani.
Mama Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I just also want to comment in confirming or in agreeing with what the colleagues have said in terms of the documentation arriving late. But I want to take that step further,
Excuse
Chair.
Excuse me, Member. Can we follow the procedure? You are going to have time to raise this matter. Once we are done with the... Are we making the quorum? Number two, then given the apologies, then the quorum, and then issues about submitted apologies, whether you reject or not, that time is coming for you. Please bear with me and allow the chair to do what she's supposed to do. Honourable members, can we be in order?
Chair, are you saying this? Sorry, I'm so sorry. Are you saying that the comments that have been made were made at the wrong time of the meeting?
Definitely, yes. Because I had... Okay, Honourable Pulan.
Chairperson, maybe we need to go back with the rules of the meeting. No, members, you know every time in the meeting, the chair will welcome everybody, will introduce our... No, don't say it doesn't matter. It does matter to us. It does matter to us. And we are here to... And Chair, can you please protect us? Can we please follow the process? Can you, Chair, welcome everybody? Then we start introducing ourselves. Then the whip check that we are correcting. And then we'll start. We are not afraid of the discussion. We are waiting for the discussion. That is why we are here. And that's why this meeting is not being postponed. But we cannot allow when the chair is speaking, then people can just engage without even adopting the agenda or anything. Please, Chairperson, can you please chair all?
I take that instruction. And now what I am expecting now
is to, from the whip and the dart, are we correcting? And once we have done that, we are going to come whether you accept apologies or not. And then we will deal with that. Then we will adopt the agenda and we begin to discuss. Can we be in order? I appeal to you. Can we do that? Given the apologies, are we correcting?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The meeting is correcting. Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
From the Honorable Member's side, thank you.
That are going to deal with the issue of apologies. Then we are in the formal mood in the meeting. Can we then talk about the minister having submitted because she's gone to the cabinet, Luhutla, on a cabinet day? Can I have get hands now? If you can help me, I will start with the members who had already spoken. All because they were speaking on this matter. I acknowledge your hand up there. Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Chair. I'll say it again. I cannot accept the apology from the Minister. This is a matter of national importance that borders on a national disaster. We were told last week that this meeting was postponed because the minister was going to the ANC Lekotla. We then discovered she was in Ethiopia doing an event for the Honorable Winnie Mandela and launching an ANC Women's League task team and youth desk. While we are sitting with a crisis facing 17 million South Africans, she is again today not appearing on this very, very critical matter. I'm sorry, I do not accept that party politics take preference over South Africans and their vulnerability. The fact that she is not here is a damn disgrace. It is not acceptable. I do not accept her apology, and I would like that noted. Thank you.
Yes, it is noted. Can I proceed to Honorable Van der Merwe? Remember, I said I'll start with those who had already made their points, just to accommodate those points within the arrangement of the meeting. Honorable Van der Merwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity again to reiterate my stance. I think the Minister, firstly, we need answers as to why we were misled last week by being told that the Minister is at an ANC Lekotla when in fact she was abroad on ANC Women's League business. I think we need answers on that, whether she misled Parliament or whether what the excuse is. Secondly, today, again, the Minister is not here. I think she's shown no leadership on an issue of national importance. There's a looming crisis. We'll hopefully get answers today, but may I also say that we reject her apology. We needed to show greater leadership on an issue which is of critical importance. The very fact that on 1 April many, many grant recipients who rely on a grant alone might face the very real possibility that they will not receive their grants. For her to not take leadership, be here today, to be accountable. We as parliamentarians have got a role and responsibility to hold the executive to account. I'm sure with this very important matter, the executive could have excused the minister to be present here today. Again, also, we'll get into the other matters later, but I also need to, like I said, know about the documents, why it came late, why we are hearing about SASSA issues through the media. I watched Morning Live this morning on my way to work. I got a few answers there, for example, that you know, the card system will remain, etc. So briefings happen outside of Parliament, and I also need to raise my objection to that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Excuse me, Honourable Member. We were actually discussing the acceptance or rejection. All the matters will have time. Can you allow me to tell to goalkeep properly?
Thank you,
but I've said I'm going to follow the line for those who had spoken first and then come to others because I want to accommodate their input in within the meeting. Honorable Bulane, it's your chance. Honorable Marhas, Honorable Umamu Sondi. So in that order.
No, Chairperson, I will accept the apology from the minister. And maybe let us put the record straight. the meeting of last week was not cancelled because the minister went to the AU.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing of saying that she was there with the ANC Women's League, I'm a member of the ANC Women's League, why I was not there? And why are we using the issue? I'm sick and tired now of Wilson. I'm saying I'm a member of this committee. I did receive a correspondence that the meeting is being cancelled. There was nothing to say it was cancelled because the minister went to the ANC Women's League tax team in AU. And I want to put the record straight. It's the first time in my life as a member of the ANC Women's League to know that there's a branch of the Women's League in AU. Maybe you must tell us because you know much better than us. And Chair, can we I accept the apology of the minister, but what I wanted to ask, we didn't hear the issue of the apology of the deputy minister, because in the ministry there are two ministers, and the cabinet Lekgotla is a very important meeting. We are just open, and I think this is the second meeting for them to do that. And another thing, if the minister is not here, the minister is not in these meetings every time. So if the minister is not here, nothing can be done. We do have CEO, we do have administrative staff that can take this thing forward, that can account on this thing. And on the issue of the media, South African media to South African media. Me too, I did hear the issues of SASA from last week, Daily Dispatch till today. But that doesn't gonna take me down. I'm this member of this committee and will account to this committee and to the parliament. Thank you.
Next speaker, honourable member.
Thanks, honourable chairperson. There's another record that I have to set straight. When it comes to the ANC Lekgotla, the ANC is the leading party in government. And when it comes to that Lekgotla, it's important for, us to postpone the meeting. I don't think that there was anything wrong in postponing, because the ANC, seeing that they're in government, have to give guidance. Where are we going to? People are speaking about 17,000 beneficiaries, but they forget when it comes to their metros, they took away assistance to the poor. So let us speak. I'm just mentioning that people know. I'm out of order there, but I would like people to know. Yes, because you grandstanding too. And Madam Chair, your meeting, I'm taking no nonsense from Wilson today.
Oh,
thank you. And I'm not calling my honourable. She's Mrs. Wilson to me. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable member, can you give us a chance? Masond, it is your time. I didn't acknowledge you, honourable panel member. And the honourable members, Mama Malchas, please allow us to sue very swiftly and smoothly. Kuluma nawe ke ma uma sonti. It is katsako lis.
Ngosi chairperson. Sayibulisa indlu yonke. Okokuqala ndiva udano ke ngoku umama uMalgasi uma izosixelela ngee-nonsenses apha endlini. Andicingi uba andikhumbuli uba loo nto leyo i-acceptable apha endlini. Noba ukhathazeke kangakanani na, andikhumbuli. Okwesibini, ndizawungena kwindawo ye-apology. Ndiyayikhaba i-apology kaminister mna okokuqala. Because ndicinga uba inoba apha le nto size ngayo ibalulekile and ifuna yena. Number 3, uminister unesandla sakhe, which is deputy minister, andimboni. Last week ukupostponwa kwemeeting ebefanele uba i-last week thina ngabanye siyifumene so late, which is not right. Angeke uthole imeseji sowubhodile ungaphaya uyongena eflightini kuthiwe i-meeting i-postponiwe, which is not good. Asihlali apha eKapa thina, sihlala kwi-communities, sixakekile. So ndiyayikhalela naleyo. Namhlanje futhi akekho. So mna ndiyayirejecta that postponement.
Kuyabuleleka.
Ya apology yakhe.
Kuyaboleleka. Honorable Mabilo. Hayi, isizonikana wena isikhathi sokukhuluma. We are going to give each other the time. Because that's their, what they own. Mabilo, honorable member, it's your turn now.
No, thanks, honorable chair. I appreciate the opportunity that you are giving me. I've followed the trajectory of the meeting. And I must say that as a member of the Portfolio Committee of Social Development, is for the first time that I've seen this kind of reaction by members on the apology of the minister. First and foremost, let me start by saying I accept the apology of the minister. But I think the overreaction around the apology for me is unnecessary, it's uncalled for, and it's unacceptable. Well, we would expect the opposition to play politics around the issue of the presence or lack of presence of the minister. But I feel that as a member of this committee, sanity must prevail. What is important is for us to get a presentation from SASSA and then robustly engage with that kind of presentation. Creating a hullabaloo is not going to assist. And for me, I don't think whatever the issues we must do blow. We are still members of parliament. We are members of the portfolio committee. And it will not be the first time that we conduct a meeting without the presence of the minister on substantial issues like the auditor's report, etc., critical issues. Yes, we must play our oversight role without fear, without favor, but we can't be bogged down by the fact that the minister is not here, when we have the CEO, when we've got the entire team of SASSA who will be able to respond to whatever issues. And I must say, it will be premature for us now to, as a committee, to start entertaining what is happening in the media. We don't run this portfolio committee on the basis of rumor. And it will be, I don't know where their sources are, but there's no crisis around the payment at this stage. There's no crisis until we are presented with the facts. So I support my colleagues that this meeting must continue. And those who reject is fine. It's their right to reject. And then we accept the apology. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I'm not going to reopen this, not unless it's a meeting about attendance and not a portfolio committee meeting to discuss what was indicated as a crisis. So I won't give you, Honorable Member, except that on this matter, what I'm going to inform you is the principle that committees, portfolio committees in this parliament, have set dates in a week, which is today, Wednesday. That's why this meeting is today. And also, it is a known factor that Wednesday is a cabinet day. So the cabinet day is utilized by cabinet members. But however, the minister comes, the minister, we can prove in this attendance when she has come. For members to reject is their right. The members to accept is their right. But this committee oversights the state, which is the implementing arm, not the governance that is led by politicians. So today, in this agenda, is based on the previous meeting where we said SASSA DSD must come so that SASSA present the stage of readiness. It's clearly written there. There was nothing that the minister must come and brief us, but we'll get that once the presentation starts. In our minutes, we said this day is for the department to present their stage of readiness. As to who said what before and who said that later, what is on the table now, there's only one item, which I am going straight to that item. Any other matter you want to raise, whether the people are going to be in a mess, they are, and so on, will go to that item. So this time, I give to the department to actually do what they came here to do, that is to give us that particular information. All the recommendations you will make, including the issue of the meeting having to be postponed, which indeed I did, and what was clear in my mind, it was not postponed because Minister Bathabile Dlamini is absent, but it was also because the chairperson of the of this portfolio committee is supposed to be reporting in the Lekgotla, that the DG must be there, that all chairs and mayors and everyone must be there to account to actually assess the progress. So when the CEO, the DG, the minister, the chair, indeed, we're not going to be here. And therefore, the meeting had to be postponed, and it was postponed. Can I allow okay, please. I'll request my,
sorry,
Chair, my members.
We haven't got an answer as to why we did not get this presentation last week, just ahead of last week's meeting, and why we only got it last night.
Let the department answer to that. That's why I'm giving the time, so that they are able to answer. They are also able to continue give reasons. I can't give those reasons. That's why I'm giving them time to speak. Honorable Van der Merwe.
Chairperson, I agree we must move on, but I need to, just for my own clarity, we got an apology last week from the minister. We got SMSs on our phone saying that she's at the ANC Lekgotla. I need to understand why we were told that she's at the ANC Lekgotla when she was not at the ANC Lekgotla. She was abroad. Because also, can I ask you just a question, Chairperson? You were at the ANC Lekgotla. Did you see the minister there or not? Because you were quoted in the media saying you did not see her. So I need answers as to where the minister was. It's my responsibility as an elected representative to hold to account the minister.
Please allow her to speak.
Thank you.
I'm need going to allow you, Honorable Malilo, followed by Honorable
We asked two questions. One, why the documents were received late, which I know the department will answer now. Secondly, I need clarity as to why we were told the minister is at the ANC Lekgotla, whereas she's only at the ANC Lekgotla today. Chairperson, you were at the ANC Lekgotla. Did you see the minister there or not?
Okay. Okay. The order.
Chairperson, you are right. You are asking the question. The member is asking the question. But imagine a member from another party asking you, you're in ANC Lekgotla, to tell her that whether the minister, that time in Lekgotla, she's not a minister, she's a comrade.
Mm.
Your colleague was in ANC Lekgotla. We cannot expose our internal affairs to you guys. I'm sorry to say, we cannot expose our internal affairs to the opposition. When they're having their own meeting, we don't even ask how many members are there.
Yes.
And the chairperson, we are at the portfolio committee of SASA, not of the ANC.
Mm.
Can we do the SASA job? Can we get the presentation? We engage on the presentation and leave who was in ANC Lekgotla or not. They will just ask you what are the resolution of that ANC Lekgotla. Now, they will ask you that. So we don't want to hear that. We are members of the ANC. We know what has happened to that Lekgotla and we know who was in there. But we cannot tell them. Chairperson, please, can you lead this meeting? This is not an ANC meeting. I'm here in the portfolio of social development, the parliamentary one, not the ANC social development meeting. Please. please. And the availability of the minister, we have accepted the apology. So they have rejected the apology. But why now they wanted to know where the minister is? They will even ask you now what the minister is wearing. You know? So we need to check that. Can you please chair?
Yes, please allow the chair to listen to questions.
But not
thank
on the ANC
much.
Issue. We are not
yes.
in the ANC.
Honorable Mabili.
They must go there to St. George's in Joburg and check who's there.
Okay, sorry.
No, Honorable Chair, we will not be sidetracked from this committee in terms of our oversight role.
Really?
We'll be focused. It is clear there's an agenda to distract us. But clearly, some of the members here from the opposition, they are really exposing themselves. That they don't understand how other organizations are working. I think it's, I know they are preoccupied of what happens to the ANC because it's a ruling party. When the ANC sneezes, the whole country gets cold. We understand that. But their thing is, the approach is, what she's asking for is ridiculous. It's very absurd. And I think we must move forward, Chair. We must not be bogged down. But as the ANC will not account in terms of our programs, who our delegates, participants, no, not at all, we will not do that. They know they are taking chances. Thank you, Chair. Let's focus on the task at hand and continue.
Can I be allowed to allow the presenter to go ahead? Thank you so much.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you so much for having given this opportunity.
Just a minute. I think I need to make this very clear so that there's no confusion in following this presentation. You will remember, honorable members, that in our last meeting, we had given us a task that to the next meeting, which will happen when Parliament has not opened yet, we will be briefed on the progress on the preparedness of SASSA to implement and also towards state of readiness. So these minutes are here. So when we are receiving this presentation, the state of preparedness is going to be presented. So that is what we are going to do, so that I really, in principle, follow and not entertain all the other matters that were not part of what we are going to listen to. You can go ahead.
Again, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to come and present to the Portfolio Committee today. We are here, I think, at the end of November, and the Portfolio Committee requested that we come back this year before Parliament opens for us to brief on the progress report on where we are with the state of readiness as SASSA. Maybe before I do that, maybe I would like to introduce that I've got on my left Mr. Siposhezi, the advisor to the special advisor to the minister, and we've got Ms. Nelson Vilagazi, who is acting DG as it is right now, because the DG is at the cabinet Lekhudla with the minister and the deputy minister. And I've got the entire team behind me that is backing us up on this briefing. On my right, I've got Ms. Rapahle Ramhupa, who's going to be doing the presentation. The presentation would have been done by the project lead. I think she missed the flight this morning because she had a meeting yesterday evening. SASSA has got many executives that can be able to take up to the task. Mr. Ramkupa is going to be the person that is going to take us through. Of course, I'm the leader of this delegation as the CEO of SASSA, and most of the questions that will be asked, I'll be leading in answering those questions, of course, with the backup for everybody that I've got with me. I would like to allow, before we take on the presentation, I would like to allow the special advisor to say something before we carry on. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much, CEO. Honorable Chair, I just wanted to emphasize the following points on behalf of the minister, that yes, what is being presented today to the portfolio committee is the state of readiness of SASA with reference to the transition, you know, state of the payment system. The second point that we wanted to stress is that this presentation and the state of readiness is a function and an outcome of the leadership of the Minister of Social Development. The third point that we'd like to make is that the state of readiness that is being presented today, which is an outcome and a function of the Minister of Social Development's leadership, is representative of the government's position in terms of dealing with this complex matter. Contained in that government decision, the government's position has been the active involvement of National Treasury and the active involvement and participation of the South African Reserve Bank. So what we are presenting here contains the key elements of the institutions of state that have historically evolved with this function. So those are the issues that we thought that we needed to make. And then the final point is that just on behalf of the minister, in relation to the concern by the MPs with reference to the late circulation of the presentation, hopefully, when the CEO and his team makes the presentation today, there will be an appreciation of how complex this transition period has been. I said earlier on that we are getting the inputs from the National Treasury, we're getting the inputs from the South African Reserve Bank, and as a result of that, you know, as we prepare, you know, now and again, you know, there have been inputs, there have been changes, and we wanted to make sure that this time around when we come to the portfolio committee, we present something that is actually succinct. So part of what accounts for the delays in the circulation was the fact that we're getting these inputs. A practical example of that in the middle of the night, I myself got a call from the DG just querying certain things about the presentation in relation to government's position. So that has had an impact around that. And I think on behalf of the minister, I would like to apologize for the late circulation, but it's just a function of the fact that you are now getting the input from the key institutions of state, and you need to bring them on board. And we're very particular about the fact that the presentation that we make here today must be a reflection of what government is saying on this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Shezi. Chairperson, honorable members, the purpose for today is I'm not going to say it's easy, it's not an easy task for us to present, as this has become a topical issue in the whole country. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody has got an opinion about what is supposed to be happening on the 1st of April. One thing that we want to assure the country and assure everybody here that councils of April, we will be paying members as normal. How we pay it is what we are going to be showing today. This is what we have decided together with National Treasury and South African Reserve Bank on how what would be the modalities of what is it that we are going to be talking about. And secondly, we'll give the progress report on where we are as it is right now. Then we'll give a brief summary of the future of what SASA is going to be doing in a medium and a long-term space for insourcing the social grants, which is something that we have promised the Constitutional Court that is going to happen. It may not happen as quickly as everybody expects it to happen, but it will happen the way that SASA feels it's supposed to happen, with the help of National Treasury and the Southland Reserve Bank, who are the responsible for the national payment system. That is Reserve Bank and National Treasury, of course, they are the people that are holding the purse that will help us to fund and finance the things that we'd like to do going forward as SASA. Without wasting time, I'll ask Rapatha to take us through. The project lead has just moved in, and I think she's catching her breath. She's catching her breath over there. She'll come and join us here. When it's question time, she'll be able to help us and answer some questions that need to be answered. Without wasting time, I'll hand over to Ms. Rapahle.
Welcome, Nkosazana. Please assist us. Singabako.
Thank you very much, and good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues, and good morning to the guests. As the CEO has already spoken, the purpose of the report today is to give progress or to the portfolio committee on the work that has been done towards the implementation of constitutional court commitments, which in the previous meeting we did indicate to members that our progress was a bit slow on almost all the commitments that we have made to the constitutional court. We're also going to give progress on the report on the progress that we have made on the recommended options come the 1st of April, and we'll also make a summary on the medium and the long-term options that we are still looking at. The Ministerial Advisory Committee, as indicated previously, did make recommendation that it's important to have the payment of social grants in-house. It further recommended that the work streams be established to facilitate the insourcing so that we don't compromise SASA's ongoing work, so that you have a dedicated capacity that would advise in the process. The work stream were appointed towards the end of August 2016, and they started to work out and fleshed out some of the proposals, and since then they have developed helped us to develop a detailed project plan with preliminary costing of the project. We did come to the Portfolio Committee on the 30th of November to come and present to the Portfolio Committee our broader plan, and recommendations were made by this committee, which we took very seriously and went back to work on those. Part of those recommendations were that our plan was not very tangible. You could not see the timelines. You could not understand some of the things. So we also recommended that we go and do consultation with critical stakeholders. So today I'm happy to present to you that we have taken the recommendations and the advice of this committee and went back and did our homework. We didn't even go on holiday. We were consulting, working on the plan so that we can thresh it out, so that it can be tangible, it can be understandable, and make it simpler for everyone to understand. Subsequent to that, we've had an interim task team that was appointed by the CEO of SASA, together with the DG of the Department of Social Development, the Director General of the National Treasury, and the Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank. This task team was to assist in taking the recommendations that were developed by the workstream and by SASA to really look at them and see whether they are tangible, whether they can be implementable, and whether they can help us to achieve 1st of April. The team evaluated all the options and looked at different angles, the risks involved. The objective of this work was to ensure that by the 1st of April, beneficiaries will be paid. Just before I go into the options that we dealt with as the task team, I'll just briefly give a progress on some of the constitutional court commitments that we spoke about that we were supposed to have met to say what has happened. Just to recap is that we have done the re-advertisement of the tender as was instructed by the court, which upon the court decided that we must implement the tender, and the tender must be implemented over 5 years. Say that indicated that we had to take off the resources and focus on the new tender, which we did advertise, and the decision for non-awarding was made on the 15th of October after all the bids that we received, which was only 3 bids that we received from people who were never participants, were non-responsive, and after that we prepared the constitutional court report with the issues around the deliverables, because by then we saw that we cannot.
Please, member, can I allay everybody's anxiety, because it doesn't seem we have got the same material. Remember what the advisor had said, that at 12 midnight there was still input from the other side of governance. So I think that's why it was included, but the typing and printing had already been done. I don't know whether honorable members should go next.
Honorable Chair, we have distributed the new record. The one that I think everybody's having, we gave to the Secretariat, is the one that is being slighted.
Mm-hmm. if they I'm sorting that out. If there are members who have not received that, so the logistics are going to be attended to, because I can see that they are paging all the time. So I want to address that. Honorable
Chairperson, I think department sometimes you are making our work difficult, really. Chairperson, imagine if there were two documents, the one we had, then 12 o'clock midnight, there's another one that is coming. You come, you must fly, you come in the meeting in the morning to engage. It's a little bit difficult for us, even if where I'm sitting, I don't know where you are, you know. So I'm just saying, in future, whatever that you did, think that there are people that are there to make an oversight. You are making our oversight to be difficult, and you must apologize on this. You can't take it, really.
Is a new arrangement, because, for example, I have my two, so I know there's a smaller one which captures. If we were informed probably earlier, we could have said go ahead with the old one and then this be seen as an amendment. But though in any way you are already on your way, we will be addressing this matter, because I could see that people are getting a little bit confused and are not following the presentation. Anyway, yes, thank you. I think let's continue, and then gaps will be attended to. All right. I accept your statement, Honorable Member, on the issue of documents having to cause confusion on its own. Thank you.
Apologies to the members. As I said earlier on, this is a very difficult situation we find ourselves in, because we've got any contribution from so many. We'll try on the next time, because the team is already gelled now with National Treasury and Reserve Bank, so we have an understanding. So we'll be getting all documents on time before we come to Portfolio Committee. Can we request that she carries on, ma'am?
Echo that request. Honorable members, can you please allow the department to continue? Thank you.
On the issue of the biometric, which was also a commitment in the Constitutional Court, we took steps to ensure that there's development and adoption of biometric standards for payment within the South African payment system. And based on the initiative that SASSA took, today we are happy to announce that the banking industry has adopted the biometric standards, even if the standards that were approved were not the first one that we started, but we're the one that initiated the discussion and volunteered to engage specialists to develop and come up with a proposal. We contracted CSIR, we worked with the Reserve Bank, we worked with everyone and commented, and today we have biometric standards, and the industry, the banking industry and everyone has adopted it as a way for the future in terms of authentication of people within the payment industry. We've also advertised a tender to have our own in-house technology and infrastructure for biometric. That tender was not awarded, and then we have issued a re-advertisement, which was issued on the 9th of December, and we are hoping that the award will be finalized by the 7th of February. The bid is closing on the 7th of February. We're hoping that by the first quarter, we will be starting with the in-house build-up into the infrastructure for SASSA, because currently the one that we are using is the one that belongs to the service provider. Other processes that we have been involved in, we have just completed the merchant suitability assessments. All the merchants that are doing where beneficiaries are currently being paid, we took special project and we sent SASSA staff all out to go and assess their suitability, the challenges, and those that we found there were problems, we were able to blacklist them so that in future we can know which infrastructure to use and which infrastructure is not. And in future we are looking at designating those to be part of the extended network or extended payment network for SASSA. We've also went further to do explorations of other payment processes that could be engaged in, including the engagement with the South African Post Office,
particularly focusing on government-to-government collaboration. We've also gone to the government printing works because currently they do the bulk printing for Home Affairs card. We were exploring whether we could use that network in terms of assisting SASSA to do the SASSA card in terms of the SASSA Bureau, because currently we are caught up in a situation. Every time you change a service provider, it means people have to be reissued with the card. So we're checking whether we could have an in-house or partnership with government printing works that such that they can support SASSA in that regard. So that those discussions were happened, and we have been able to get positions and what is feasible and what is not feasible. We've also issued a request for information for all payment services across the payment industry, just to understand what is missing in the industry, because we've been issuing tenders and they've been non-responsive. So we felt that it's important that we need to understand what the market is offering. Those will be closing on the 10th of February, and upon closure we'll be issuing a new fresh tender, or which is a request for proposal. But members, please allow me now to go back to the options that were discussed with the team after I've given this progress. With the team that was established by the four principals, we've been able to look at what are the possible options that we could look at in order to ensure that beneficiaries are paid, and looking at the program for long term. The first thing that we looked at was, option one was, what does it mean if we were to procure services of the current service provider? And we had serious deliberations around it to say, what does it mean and what does it not mean? And we found that while this option could ensure that beneficiaries are paid in terms of guaranteeing service delivery, it had problems. One, from a supply chain point of view, it would be inappropriate to go and extend an illegal contract. From a constitutional point of view, we found that it was something that would be in violation of the constitutional court recommendation. And also from the public perception, we found that it's something that would really be compromising the organization. But in terms of delivering services, we found that this option is the only one that can ensure that come the 1st of April, beneficiaries or South Africans are paid. Then we looked at option two. Option two was, is it possible to procure the services from the bank that that currently majority of the beneficiaries have bank accounts for? Because we have as we indicated in the previous meeting in November, that the cards currently, which although the contract expires in March, the cards are valid until December 2017. So we said, is it possible that we can go and have negotiations with Grindrod? There's positives to it, but the issue about it is that, yes, while you may guarantee service delivery, there's no guarantee that you'll pay beneficiaries who are in the pay points, because you would need the infrastructure for the current payment provider being CPS, because Grindrod currently is being backed from that. So, but at least you would be able to deposit money into the accounts. The second element is that the public perception is just not correct. You cannot, if you're going to work with a service provider, you can't just come tomorrow and go and take the reverse and say, let me bring this one because this one is not working. So we looked at all the limitations for each and every option. On option three, that we looked at was procuring the services of all banks that wish to comply with SASSA requirements. In doing that, what we were looking at was developing a special account or using the open architecture as per recommendation of the South African Reserve Bank. However, it was also indicated for the banks to prepare for that, at least they would need plus minus 6 months to ensure that they have that facility ready and we are able to mobilize the beneficiaries to go to those banks and to communicate effectively. So this option, while it's very welcomed by majority of the stakeholders, the limitation was that come the 1st of April, it would not be readily available for everyone. Other than that, the option was also looking only on beneficiaries who are in the banking environment. It was not looking at the 4 million who are receiving their cash payments at the cash pay points. So it would mean that even if you go this option, you still have limitation in terms of presenting the grant. Then option four was procuring the services of all the banks that wish to comply with SASSA, which is in line with option three, which will cater for 60% of the beneficiaries, but also go to the current service provider and negotiate for the current service provider to only provide for the beneficiaries in the cash pay bonds. One, the limitation on option three still persisted in terms of the state of readiness, in terms of special accounts. However, when it comes to the issue of the cash pay bonds, also it had its dependencies to say it's going to be an expensive option if you're saying, going to say to them, you're removing the banking option and you're giving them the cash beneficiary, because transporting cash is expensive whether you are transporting to 5 or you're transporting to 100. So you had to explore that. So it has its strength and it also had its limitations. The option 5 that the team debated was the issue of procuring services of the South African Post Office. When we looked at the state of readiness, we said there's a lot of elements that the post office has. It has a network infrastructure of about 2,700 post office outlets, which could be utilized maybe for beneficiaries to go and collect money there. But when you look at the SASSA cash pay points, we are working on plus minus 10,000 pay points. So already, even if you're using the post office, you still have those beneficiaries who would not be able to reach the beneficiaries. We went further to do the mapping of the South African Post Office network, and we found that most of them were in the urban or in bigger rural areas. When you go into the remote areas, you didn't have that those outlets or infrastructure, so you still need a mechanism to get the monies to other areas. So we're saying that the group agreed that the government-to-government collaboration is a good idea. It will support the initiative. However, you should look at it on the point of readiness of the post office to say what are the elements that you can say and what are the elements that could not be looked at. Option 6 was the option that was mainly put forward by the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer to say this we should need to look at. One was the appointment of service provider for cash distribution for grant recipients who are receiving cash at the cash pay points. But looking at the time frame now, the limitation in terms of the time, we are already in January. If we go on advertisement, even the recommendation is that we need to take 10 days to advertise and get that. But even if we can appoint as quickly as possible, but setting up an infrastructure to 10,000 pay points may take longer, and getting a new person to acquire the infrastructure may take longer. So it has its positives and it also has its limitation. The other option was that within option 6, it said for bank beneficiaries, we should go on a mass communication from starting from 1st of February, whereby GCIS will help us to invite all beneficiaries that have bank accounts to all go to SASSA offices. And when they get to SASSA offices, then we capture the bank accounts. So that comes the 1st of April, we need to transfer the money into that account. It got positive in the sense that there's no supply chain processes that would be broken. However, knowing the response that we've had during the re-registration or when we've done massive call of beneficiaries during this stage, we felt that it has its limitation in that it may cause panic to the beneficiaries. Having explained all these options, let me make what was the recommendation that we had ended up looking at. Each of the 6 options had advantages and disadvantages, and the varying probabilities of successful implementation by the 1st of April. And they also have their risk. However, option 3, 4, 5 were not feasible to ensure payment by SASSA by the 1st of April 2017. The National Treasury was of the view that option 6 is feasible, but when we went back at SASSA and looked at it, we felt a bit that we may be causing panic and the huge influx, and if you capture bank accounts wrongly, it means those beneficiaries may be compromised, and also the setting up for the cash beneficiaries had its limitation. It's a good recommendation. However, we feel that maybe we may require a little bit of time to implement this. And after that, we then took a leap to say, given all that, we need to come and acknowledge that, yes, we have failed. The option that's left for us, if we have to guarantee payments, is the 1st of April, going into the option 1 with the current service provider for a limited time in order to pursue option 6 while we're putting processes towards pursuing option 6 as recommended by the office of the task team. After doing that, we also came with timelines that comes with it. We put timelines to say, if we were to go for option one, which is going with the current service provider, automatically it will be irregular. And any expenditure incurred would be irregular. The only thing that would make us to survive is to go to court, approach the court as a matter of urgency, and request extension of validity.
To suspend
of invalidity, and then also go to the office of the chief procurement officer and follow the deviation process. So we've set out the timelines and the processes that need to be done. In order to ensure that we do that, we are proposing that there will be a negotiation team that will be established to discuss, to negotiate with the current service provider. The issues to be discussed, among others, will include issues of the period of contract, which at the moment we are recommending that the extension be for 1 year, the issue of the cost, and also the issue of discussion on the unfavorable conditions currently within that we are experiencing with the current service provider.
Thank you. There's no sitting this afternoon. And we will have lunch, in terms of time, not in terms of food. But then you will have a few minutes as members to interact with your own colleague. So you want us to relax, that if we are a little bit rushing, but you will have a time to consult your document properly before we engage, because we want to engage. Thank you. And
thanks. So I was just indicating that the key issues that we are proposing for negotiation would be the issue of the period of contract, which we are proposing to be 1 year, the cost that would be involved, the unfavorable conditions that we are experiencing with the current payment provider, which include, among others, the issues of deductions and some of the things that we are on at court with the current service provider, and also the phasing in of the services over the period, because as we extend, we are proposing that new services will be implemented, which I will discuss on the medium-term option. We also have to go to the office of the chief procurement officer, because now the approval for deviation sits with the National Treasury. So we need to approach, and we have already negotiated, and they've indicated that they can only consider our request, provided the Constitutional Court provides us with that extension. So we're starting the processes by the 7th of February. We have already prepared documentation in regard to that. In terms of the Constitutional Court, we also proposing that by next week, Monday, we should be registering the report. We have already briefed the lawyers working on briefing the lawyers in this regard. In terms of the technical issues, we are looking at the extension of the validity of the current card and also the encryption on the UPS card to ensure that it works comes the end of February, so that on the 1st of April we can be sure that the card continues. In terms of communication, we need to communicate with the beneficiaries, and we need to start communicating with the public at large. And this, we said the communication will start in February intensively so that we avoid panic. In terms of the medium-term option, which everyone agrees on, in terms of on the short term, there's concerns from Treasury that they would not want to associate with anything that is irregular. However, should the court support us on this, they will be able to look at it differently. On the medium term, there's not everyone in the industry, everyone in the task team, we are all agreeing on the proposed measures. The proposed measures in terms of the medium term said that we want to procure services of all banks for all the beneficiaries who are banked. We also understand that there are beneficiaries who are currently receiving cash payments, and cash payments will be with us for the medium to long, for the period, for some time,
as SASSA, and therefore we cannot leave those beneficiaries outside, and therefore based on that we will be procuring the services of a service provider for the beneficiaries who are paid through the cash pay points, because we admit even if SASSA was to be a paymaster, transporting cash would not be part of our capability or our strength, because you need the support of the proper institutions like the security companies and so on. We've also taken into cognizance that beneficiaries, you don't want to lock beneficiaries into pay points. You must allow them the possibility to migrate into banks when they are ready or when the banking infrastructure is there in their areas, because right now it's not everywhere. We have mapped all the banking infrastructure and the pay points. It's not in all areas where people have that access. So we need to develop the terms of reference in such a way that beneficiaries would be able to migrate, and therefore the kind of card that you issue to them should allow them to move from one place to the other like they currently enjoy the benefit. In order to mitigate the risk of banks choosing which clients to serve and which ones not to serve, we've decided that instead of opening, we will issue a closed bid for all the banks, because if you are going to pay somebody for transaction fees and everything, you need to have gone through a procurement process. But in this particular case, we are opening it to all banks to participate. But we have to do it through a normal procurement process where we'll issue a closed bid or an expression of interest, specifying that these are the kind of transaction costs that we want, these are the kind of counts that we want for the beneficiaries, and those banks that are willing to participate will be open to participate and will subsidize the transaction fees so that beneficiaries don't incur the costs. Therefore, in this recommendation, we are recommending opening of specialized account. A specialized account is a limited account that is limited to SASSA beneficiaries, which has certain conditions in the sense that we will be prohibiting deductions on those accounts, and we'll be also recommending that certain number of transaction fees should be allowed to be transacted freely. In order also for us to achieve the long term, the medium term, we need a SASSA corporate account or a SASSA control account. Here we have proposed that we open it through the PMG environment. And as we were thinking of going on tender to do this, we established that there was an account that was open to SASSA and it has been dormant. So we are exploring possibilities of using this account. This account is very crucial because if you're going to migrate phases in auto, you're going to migrate new services in phases, you need to have hold as the government. You don't want money to go into service provider account, because if we are going to say we are piloting with 100, we should be the ones that transfer to whoever is a participant. So it's important that we activate this. So we are engaging with the Reserve Bank on what are the best possibilities in terms of utilizing this account, or whether they will need to go on a new tender, because we are putting the conditions may be different. But so far, we are comfortable that we will be able to get this corporate account as a matter of agency. The limitation that we have in terms of the medium term is that for a medium term, 2 to 3 years, we'll have a fragmented payment system, which is unenviable because beneficiaries should enjoy the same benefits. If you have a system for bank beneficiaries and a system for cash beneficiaries, it's saying you are treating beneficiaries differently. So that becomes a limitation. And the SASSA involvement, particularly for beneficiaries who are within the banking environment, because once that environment kicks in, certain laws becomes applicable. Therefore, our involvement becomes very limited. And the choices of the beneficiaries become limited, particularly for those who are cash, because now we'll be locking them to a particular payment provider. There's also many dependencies once you have the banking and the cash distribution route that you are going on. We've also put time frames for this, which will be interfacing with as we phase out CPS, these are the time frames where others will be kicking in. The terms of reference for special accounts is supposed to be finalized by the 15th of April. The draft document has been developed, and we are going to get into negotiations with critical stakeholders before we go and approach PASA and Reserve Bank to approach the industry.
the list of banks, including summary or analysis of the banks which are issuing and acquiring capabilities. What we are avoiding only talking to everyone, even those that don't have infrastructure for beneficiaries to make withdrawals. The Reserve Bank has already provided us with that list, and we are looking at it, so that if you're issuing a closed tender is limited to those banks. There are plus minus, is it 17 or 27 banks? 27 banks in the industry that have been given to us and will be issuing a closed bid in line with the Treasury guidelines and regulation. We also have to approach Treasury, because if you are doing a closed bid, although it's a procurement process, it's a deviation. Therefore, we will be approaching Treasury for the deviation, and this will happen by the 20th of March. The closed bid for all banks will issue by end of March. The banks to express their interest by May 2017, the contracting has advised that to set up a special account, they will need at least 3 to 6 months. So we are hoping that by October, those accounts will be ready. And if you start issuing the first accounts in by April, we are trying to ensure that come December, already majority of the beneficiaries will be having the new accounts. And then as you move into the end of March, you should be able to migrate the remainder of the beneficiaries. So the phase out of CPS will commence in November 2017 until March 2018. We'll also be exploring the corporate accounts, as I've already indicated. But in addition, SASSA has to build an in-house capacity. Remember, currently we do have a pay file that we issue to one service provider. Now you have to fragment within the SoftPen system in order to allow the different banks and the participants, including the cash payment area. So we have to work on the in-house capacity to ensure that we build capacity for debit accounts. We also have to develop a module to effect EFT debits. We'll need to redesign our pay file to accommodate all new banks that will be participating so that we can be able to transact at ease. The cash flow will also have to be relooked at, and also the communication with the beneficiaries. On the cash payment management element, in terms of the medium term, we'll be building on the RFI that has already been issued. Some of the activities will be taken, and we'll do the analysis of the bank account mechanism to allow beneficiary flexibility. We'll also do analysis of what comes from the RFI so that we can consolidate the terms of reference for procurement for cash, and also ensure that the procurement commences by April 2017 in building up to ensure that we give the new service provider sufficient time to pilot and to get the systems ready come March 2018. Now that I've done with the medium term, I'm going to the long term. Where do we see SASSA in the long term? After engaging with the different stakeholders, SASSA still wants to become a participant in the national payment system. And in order for SASSA to be a participant in the national payment system, there are certain special exemptions that we need to apply for within the banking environment with limited rights. And we have been advised that it's feasible because this has been issued previously to the South African Post Office, which has been participating in their own. Why we think SASSA need to participate in that environment? We're thinking if you are bringing 11 million transactions, at least you need to sit in that environment and be able to present and negotiate with the stakeholders in that environment, in the board environment, so that the needs and the challenges facing the beneficiaries are represented in that environment. And we also need to ensure that while we pay, we want to ensure that even in future, all payments that SASSA does, it does within a regulated environment. But we've also been able to, we want a situation where we have SASSA dedicated BIN numbers so that we avoid this thing of migrating from one service provider to the other. Every time you move, you have to call beneficiaries to come and re-register, which is not in the interest of beneficiaries. So if we participate, then we'll be able to be allocated. But for as long as we don't, because the BIN numbers are allocated to participants within the payment industry. So we're looking at things that would make life easy for beneficiaries. The other element is that we're also looking at the issue of the payment bureau to say, how do you issue cards? Where do you maintain cards? Currently, the beneficiaries are struggling when they have to replace cars or when they have to, they have problems. So you'll find that the OSASA offices are crowded. So we want to develop a proper bureau so that we can do audit of the cars, we can check everything, maintenance, and ensure that every time cars are needed and we control and they go through a rigorous process. And that's one of the issues that we've been negotiating with the government printing works, learning from how and the mistakes that they have gone through when they were developing the ID card. On issues of biometric solution, the biometric remain a key element of SASA's future. The banking industry has approved the issue of biometric standards to be used by all banks. The banks are working on putting infrastructure. We're saying that we also want our beneficiaries all and recipients in future, as the regulations get amended, ensure that even those in the banking industry are able to use biometric authentication because it has been proved to be a way of dealing with fraud or reducing fraud. We also need to do a banked link with the Department of Home Affairs in order to continue to ensure that there's continued verification of information. In the process towards the long term will commence in November 2017, and the actual phase-in will fully be rolled out in 2019. We will have to do the necessary applications for exemption. We'll need to introduce the future SASA card, and we'll also need to establish the SASA card bureau. We've identified risks that need to be managed. And as indicated, I've already talked about most of this risk in the presentation to say the payment contract ends on the 31st. However, the card expires in December 2017, and we have already been given the assurance that this card can work from the 1st of April. And therefore, if we go for the route that we are going, there will be no need for congestion of beneficiaries to come to re-register, because we have established that it's possible to update this system automatically. For the biometric, which predominantly used as cash payphone, this card will expire on the 31st of March, and it impacts on 3 to 4 million people. If we don't extend this validation, it will mean these people will have to be re-registered, because currently they don't even have the pins. They only use most of them use the biometric. So they will have to have a mass re-registration. And given the time constraints, we don't think that it would be feasible to do that. In terms of procurement, some of the risk. In terms of instruction note 3 of 2016, we need to ask for deviation and for us to be allowed. And deviations are normal procurement processes and are allowed in under exceptional cases. But in our case, our situation is such that the court has declared the agreement with CPS invalid and unlawful, and therefore we cannot look at it like any other normal. That's why we are proposing that we approach the court. On the procurement of banking services, we'll also go on a competitive process so that whoever comes in has been through the procurement, and we are able to reimburse based on the conditions and things that we agreed to. In terms of the recommendation, we are recommending that the portfolio committee notes and supports SASA to implement the short-term plan to extend the suspension of the invalidity of the contract of the current service provider in order to allow for the phase-out. We are recommending to the portfolio and requesting them to support us to phase in the medium-term plan and to support the long-term plans for SASA. But we are further requesting that we use SAPO infrastructure to extend social grants payment network. Thank you.
Remember, I had suggested that we will have a few minutes break before we come and a little bit of synthesizing what has been presented to us. So can I request that a suggestion of minutes that we adjourn and then come back?
How many minutes? How long? 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. Come again?
Support the proposal.
Okay, sure. We have adjourned. Ningaphuma nalapha endlini.
Sorry if we have a few minutes lost.
Can I acknowledge the hand that was passed, Honorable Van der Merwe, the two honorable members in that session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson. And thank you very much to the department, although I must from the outset say that I think one can disregard everything that you have presented to us today, simply because I think you're being very ambitious in telling us that there's no crisis on 1 April 2017. I say that because you, throughout your presentation, you talk about medium plans, short-term plans, long-term plans, but then you also say it still depends on whether the Constitutional Court will actually grant you the go-ahead to extend, and let's repeat that, extend an invalid and an unlawful contract. The Con Court still has to give you the go-ahead to extend an unlawful and invalid contract, a contract which was declared such in 2013. So I think today we must ask serious questions from you as to what you did since 2013 up until today, 4 years later. We are now in a predicament where the only option you have got left is to extend an invalid and unlawful contract. The Con Court still has to give you the go-ahead, and Treasury is on record saying they are not planning to give you money to extend an unlawful or invalid contract. So really for me today, we must walk away here and say this is a national crisis. You have not approached the court. You have not approached Treasury. So what state of readiness you are speaking about today, I'm dumbfounded. There is no state of readiness. The court has not given you the go-ahead. Treasury has not given you the go-ahead. We need to understand what have you done the last 4 years to remedy the situation. You are on record saying you have complied with none of the Constitutional Court requirements that they set out. This also boils down to the issue of leadership of the minister. We would have asked her those questions. What leadership did she show in making sure that you comply with the Constitutional Court rulings? Then I want to know, what are you going to tell South Africans? South Africans are deeply, deeply upset with CPS and NetOne. This is the very same company that have for years stolen money from them illegally through illegal deductions. Every month, pensioners have been crying about CPS and NetOne, who deduct illegal amounts of money from the grants. You, as a department, only recently started acting on it. You are now handing CPS and NetOne, an American company, for all intents and purposes, for me, a bunch of crooks, another lifeline. Also, what stops you from coming in a year from now and telling us again that you are not ready yourselves? So really for me today, I can just as well leave, because there's nothing here that gives me hope that you've actually complied with the Constitutional Court rulings, that you've actually taken this seriously. There are 17 million people who rely on a grant alone. But then finally, I want to ask you firstly, CPS and NetOne is said to have fronted some BEE partners and then dropped them along the way. So is this company BEE compliant? Are they in trouble with the Department of Trade and Industry? I believe they're in trouble. There's an investigation pending. So that also raises very serious questions. Were you under political pressure to extend the CPS and NetOne contract? There have been reports about connections to certain individuals of this company. So I want to know, did you bow under any political pressure to give these bunch of crooks another lifeline to be paying out our social grants? You know, and for me, it's even worse, because Mark Barnes, the CEO of SAPO, he has been begging you for government business. He's been saying, if only you bring me on board, you give me this contract, even if it's just for an interim period, I will be able to save SAPO. The South African Post Office is bankrupt. He's been begging for this business, and you go and give it again to a bunch of American crooks. That's the only way I can label them. They've stolen money from the poorest of the poor. Finally, I want to ask you, this company of CPS and NetOne, they're also very arrogant. They've been laughing at you in the media with the various quotes by your state of readiness. They've been poking fun, saying, you know, these guys are not ready. They're going to have to run back to us. We are the only option. We are the only lifeline. They are also quoted as saying that they will only continue doing business with you under favorable terms and conditions. Have you negotiated these favorable terms and conditions? And if so, what are they? Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Chair. I think I want to agree with the questions that have been asked, but I want to also add the most important two factors that are going to make this option that we are requested to consider today are, as my colleague has said, the court agreeing to the extension of the suspended declaration of invalidity. And the service provider themselves, because I see that there's still a program that has been presented to say this is what we are going to do and timelines and things like that. What if the service provider does not agree to continue with this project for a year, and they want 3 years, for example? What then? What happens to this whole thing? What happens to the fact that we were given, SASSA and the department were given the opportunity to put everything in place for the last 3 years when this extension was given? That is one thing, Chair. The second thing is, since this for the last 3 years, I want to believe, there has been a advisory committee, the ministerial advisory committee, that was converted into work streams, because the members of the advisory committee are the leaders of the work streams that are working on this. And when the presentation was done earlier on, it said that the presentation spoke to the situation that the executives of SASSA were given time to continue with the work, the normal work that they are doing. I don't know of any other work that they would be doing other than the payment of grants. So in my books, we've had the work streams working parallel to the executives of SASSA, and both these streams are being paid money, salaries on the one and consultancy fees on the other. And then we also have had all this time South African Reserve Bank, National Treasury, CSIR, and all those people that have not been brought on board at the right time for them to be able to get involved and come up with the results that we would be sitting here now saying, okay, these are the plans that have been presented to us, and this is what is going happen going forward. But we are sitting no further than where we were sitting in November last year, where we were talking about options. What is possible? What is viable? What can be done? What can we look at? What is underway? We have not moved an inch, Chair, I would like to say that, because even according to the presentation that was sent, we still have a situation where things are being discussed, they are underway, there's talk, there's all those things. And so my question, Chair, says, where is the budget that has been paying the work streams up until now? Because I can't find it in the budget of SASSA. And whilst we are paying the executive, what are the executives of SASSA doing? We have the chief information officer. We have a work stream of ICT and payments. We have chief financial officer. We have a work stream that looks at payment. We have a chief this and a work stream this, doing exactly the same thing. My question is, whilst the work streams are looking strictly on this thing, what are the executives doing exactly at SASSA? And the last thing, Chair, that I would like to say is that when we raised these concerns, at least from the 7th of June last year, it was like we're being naive, we don't understand, we are unnecessarily causing panic in the public domain. But here today, the presentation said, towards the end of the presentation, the lady says, Ms. Ramahopa said, we have failed. We could have said that last year. We could have started with these processes last year. We could have saved the public in the public domain the face of the agency of government by just doing what we need to do. And now I could be forgiven for saying that all this delays with skills, experience, resources have been done so that we can manufacture a very nicely packaged emergency, so that then we can be allowed to go ahead and do the work with the current service provider. Thank you, Chair.
Let me allow the department to exactly answer questions and make clarifications where there's misrepresentation, if there is, of your document, and then I will open again, probably starting with those who have not spoken. Can I do that? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We have had several questions, and I've got the whole team that will help me to answer some of this question. We'll start with the one for the crisis. The issue that the Constitutional Court, we have not approached the Constitutional Court, the reasons why we have not done that up to this this far, which we are going to do this coming week, we have already got the senior counsel and a junior that is going to be helping us in taking this thing forward with the council. We hope, not hope, we have been advised that the Constitutional Court will be able to look into this because it is a matter of national interest. It will be seen, it will be done as soon as possible. It's not that we have not done anything from the time that we the Constitutional Court declared the contract invalid. If we remember, all of us will remember that the Constitutional Court said that they are giving us time to do good of that contract, so we had to go out for tender. We did that on time. We reported to Constitutional Court on time, and we did go out for the tender. What happened is that we did receive the responses from service providers, including the current service provider that we have and ABSA. Both of them decided to withdraw towards the end of the contract. We're left with other three service providers who did not even make the cut on to the first technical process, so we couldn't award. So we could not flaunt the rules and the regulations of the country because CPS and ABSA had withdrawn from the race. So we did some of the things that the Constitutional Court said we must do. That was the first thing. And there are other things that I think Mr. Ramkhuba mentioned when he was talking about the things that were deliverables that we're supposed to have done with Constitutional Court. We did engage CSIR. It has been engaged prior to the time of the Constitutional Court rendering the contract invalid. And they've been with us from that time right up to the end where it was the whole thing that was done by them was moved to Reserve Bank. And Reserve Bank have gone out to all the banks and discussed with the issue of the biometrics. And by June last year, it was adopted that the biometric standards become the name of the game within the banking industry, that all banks have adopted, and they've discussed it with MasterCard, and they've discussed it with Visa. Last time we spoke to them, they were talking to one of the European companies that does what MasterCard and Visa does. So it means that there are things that have been done by SASSA. It's not that we've been sitting on our laurels, not doing anything. Is there anything that you would like to add, Mr. Ramkhuba? So there are so many things that we have done. Then there is an issue of the political pressure. I must say it openly up in this meeting that we have not had any political pressure on the issue of CPS. I am known as a person that is sitting on the MTT. There are some people that are sitting here that sit with us from the civil society that have been against what CPS have been doing. So there will be no way that anybody will come to me and say that I need to be going the route that we have decided to go. That I'm the one that pushed for CPS and NetOne and other companies to be charged for the wrong things that I was convinced that they were doing that was not right. So how on earth then can I be pressured politically by anyone to go that route when I'm the one that is clear that is done? I just, as an administrator, I've got to divorce the two things. The process implementation, the grants payment side, and the side of the issue of the deductions. I divorced those two things and put them apart. I was called by the legislature of provincial government to come and account with SASSA and as a DSD DG at the time on what was happening with the deductions. There was a question that was asked by the members of that committee, which said, or they were, in fact, they were advising that we need to cancel the contract. And those members have brought a plus or minus 150 people into the room. And I asked one question there, and I said to them, if it is being said that I must cancel the contract of CPS overnight, what will happen the following day? Who is going to pay the grants? And I posed a question to the members of the public that were sitting there. I said, anyone who's sitting there can stand up and say that they agree with that what one member said, that you need to cancel that. And everybody said that they rather go with the issue of CPS. And I know that I was misquoted or quoted in a way that people said that I said, it's better the devil that I know, the devil that I do not know. I can still repeat right now that we can say whatever that you want to say. Up to thus far, CPS has been doing a good job when it comes to payments of grants. We have never done anything wrong. They have never done anything on this. With the exception that there are some things that untoward that is happening within the stable of CPS, which is Net One, on the issue of deductions. Hence, we are separating the two things. Dealing with the deductions on the other side, while we are paying the grants on the other side. And Ms. Rapatle has just said it here clearly in front of everybody and said that we had a Reserve Bank, we've got National Treasury, we've got the DSD and us sitting in one room looking at what is it that we can try and do. And I remember the words from the DG from National Treasury. They said, when we instructing the technical team to look into this thing, said anything that on the options that we are coming up with is not going to help us to be able to pay by the 1st of April. We put it aside and put it for the future or medium term. So on Monday last week, we're finalizing the issues on these options. They gave us all those options. Everybody had a comment. Everybody had things to say about those options. Then at the end, because as a CEO who's responsible for SASA, I've got to make a decision on what is supposed to happen. And I must say, it might not be right, or it might be wrong. It might not be wrong on what I'm going to say, but the fact remains that decision needs to be taken. Come 1st of April, we need to pay. Now, how we pay is a different issue. The unfortunate thing for SASA, whether what has happened from November, the time that the Constitutional Court decided on invalidity, and the time that we did not award the contracts, at that time I was not around. I'm not saying that people that were there did not do good, but I'm talking about the time when I took over, which is 1st of November. The first thing I did, I called upon the team, which is made out of the DG. I pleaded with him to come and sit on the National Treasury, and the DG of DSD, and the DG of Reserve Bank. All of us came together. We formed this team, and this team has come up with this decision that we sit with right now, as we are talking. And I'm saying, I can get all the punches and I can get all the blames and all the things that needs to be said. But come 1st of April, I, as a CEO of SASA, I've got to make it a point that I pay the 18 million grant recipients and this thing. If I have got to go with CPS, so be it. Anybody can blame me. If National Treasury decides not to support us onto this issue, there are many things. Dumping and Scopa and people have been blaming us on all the things that we have not done right. If we've got to choose between paying the grants and irregular, and if the country is going to ban on the 1st of April and the irregular, I choose the country not to ban as a CEO. I'm saying this thing boldly here. I know that I'm going to be blamed. Papers are going to be saying things tomorrow about what I'm just saying, but the fact of the matter remains. It remains that 1st of April we need to pay. So this is what I can say right now as the CEO of SASA, and I'm taking all the accountability of what is supposed to be taking place and leave it there. CPS is arrogant. I agree, Chairperson. They go onto the papers. Hence, some of the things that the members are saying that this is being said on the papers. It's not us that has been taking it to the papers or the media. It's the media and certain individuals in the country that decides that it is a crisis within the country on the issue of payment of grants. And I'm saying that grants have been paid prior to CPS. They were paid. The grants are paid during CPS, and the grants are going to be paid after CPS. Now, how we reach there is something else. This is what we are here sitting and talking about, medium term and the long term. The ideal state that we want to find ourselves in, we want to operate like any other bank that is outside there, and we do it internally so that we'll never, ever find ourselves being held ransom by certain companies and certain individuals in the country that we're supposed to be doing all the time. And the job starts now. Come 1st of April, we will be paying.
Well, before I give, honorable member, I had said I'll, can I talk then I'll come and acknowledge you. Sorry about that. CEO, you have alluded to the fact that CPS had many other bad things, like the illegal deductions. And on this today, you coming with these options, which also include that service. But can I find out that the separation of these two, the payments and the other issue that is illegal, the deductions, you are going to be able to curtail it. If you were going to allow them to do the work, the good work, the good side, would you be able to be in control of that? They are not going to do any more, they are not going to be capable of any more deductions, which is the cry of our people there. With this proposal, if an extension goes on for them, if court allows that, will you be in a position to stop, to ensure that the new extension enables you, CEO, to ensure that there are no more illegal deductions? Can you assure the committee of that approach? And then I am going to note the new, hands. But I just want this clarity, because the cry out there is it today and last week and the other week, the deductions still continue. While the court case against deductions continues, they also continue to deduct. So will you be able to assist in this decision you're looking for, that there will be immediately this arrangement or these processes have been finalized? You are sure that no deductions will take. Can we hear that? Okay. So, Honorable Wilson, you had your hand up. I'm going to acknowledge you immediately after this question has been asked. And, okay, thank you very much. 1, 2. Okay, sure. I acknowledge Umesondi. Kunalabe sengba bonile. Bonile mama. Uzo nigezis katsako.
Chair, maybe I do not want again to be misquoted on to what I'm going to say. National Treasury, we are sitting with National Treasury in the committee, and the DG is part and parcel of the committee, and he has come with the DD, some of his DDGs into meetings that are carrying, like Dondam Khajan, he sits on all the meetings that are taking place. So they are on board in support on what we are doing. The issue, I think, that Ms. Ramakhupa said on the issue of the Office of the Chief Procurement Office was to say that on the issue of the deviation, they will support with the issues of the Constitutional Court allowing us to deviate. Yeah, to deviate on the thing. But if the Constitutional Court does not allow us to deviate, I'm not going to dwell much onto it, on the issue of irregular and the issue of payment. I've already alluded to that. Mm-hmm. On the issue of CPS and NetOne, first of all, CPS is not deducting per se. Is NetOne that is doing the deductions. And NetOne is the mother body of CPS. CPS per se does not do deductions. And that has been clarified even in court when we're going to court. That is not CPS that we we took to coordinate one and Lion of Africa and other organizations and their directors to court, not CPS per se. Well, CPS, as I've just said, they've been doing a good job on this other side. It's so unfortunate that they're on the same stable with NetOne that is looking after this thing. CPS is not going to deduct any money onto the issues of payment. And I would like Mr. Van Vrede, who is responsible for the policy issues, and to tell us how far they are with the issue of the regulations that you have put in order to stop some of the deductions.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, members. As the committee knows, the regulations are still subject to a court decision. All the arguments have been made in court, and we were basically waiting for the judge to deliver his judgment. I think it's a very difficult matter, and it's been now almost 3 months that the judge hasn't delivered the judgment, so it does sort of give the sense of the complexities of the matter that is before him at the moment. But just to comment as well on the new payment system that SASSA did present, in the medium term, SASSA did show that they will be looking at moving at least a vast majority of social grant beneficiaries to the banking environment, and together with the South African Reserve Bank and the National Treasury, we will be looking at putting in place what we call a special account or a limited account that will prevent such abuses. So it might not be immediate with the new, the continuing of services with CPS, but it should be within a very short space of time, say about 3 to 6 months, we then should be able to move into an environment where deductions won't be allowed. And this time we've got the full backing of the Reserve Bank as well as the National Treasury behind us. So, I can't say that will work, because obviously all banks could still take us to court again on that basis to try and stop us, although we do get the sense that the banks really don't mind. It was just one particular bank that was being particularly difficult in the last time we tried to do this through regulations. So we do see a greater likelihood of success on the front of deductions in the course of the next year.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. We have failed out of the mouth of the presenter. It's probably the most honest thing I've heard out of the mouth of anybody at SASSA for a very long time. Indeed, SASSA has failed. And I find it absolutely staggering when we query what has been done over the last couple of years, and we have this attempt at pulling the wool over our eyes to say, we've done a lot. If you had done a lot, how could you fail on the 7 deliverables that were given to you in the Constitutional Court judgment? You did not deliver one, not one. If you had done one, or maybe 2, oh, maybe 3 if we were going to get really lucky, then we could say you've done something in the last couple of years. You didn't deliver on one. Not one. What staggers me the most is, and you've known this since we started asking questions in June. We had meetings October with you. We've had meetings in November with you. Zane Dangor did a press conference beginning of December. You have known for months that you could not deliver grants by SASSA on the 1st of April. And to this date, you still have not gone back to the court. And that begs the question, why are we sitting in this situation? We are sitting in this situation because you are implying to us that you have forced an emergency. You have forced an emergency, knowing full well that the Concord must agree to extend the CPS contract, because if they do not, grants will not be paid.
And I hate to use this word, but this is how I feel. How has the situation been manipulated and why? And what is the cost going to be to us? There's a comment here, and please, if you forgive me, Chair, I want to read it. It's from Serge Bellamont. The CEO of NetOne UEPS Technology said a failure to extend its contract to distribute South African welfare payments beyond the end of March would be a national disaster, and offered to sell the business to government. There is no one else who can deliver the system as we do it today. I do not think this would be feasible for the foreseeable future. It would be a national disaster, said Serge Bellamont in a phone interview from London on Tuesday. It will be difficult for them to do anything without us being involved. He is arrogant, but he's right. Because he knew, like we have when we started fighting this battle in June last year, that you would not be able to deliver. Why has it taken so long to get back to the court to explain to them and ask for the extension that you are talking about? I find it unbelievable that this has not been yet done. I also want to take up the issue that was raised by my colleague, Honorable Masangu. We've got parallel teams working here. We've had work stream advisors or team advisors, and now we've got work streams. And then we've got the staff of SASA, two parallel teams working in the same department. And yet we cannot find anything in the budgets or in the last financial report to show us anything with regards to the financial implications of this. And that is very concerning, because we need to know exactly what has been paid for all this work you claim you've done, what has been paid to consultants, to the advisory committee, to work stream leaders, and to separate work streams. I think that's very important. And we've had a lot of discussion here about Treasury involvement, Treasury involvement. Treasury said this, Treasury's done this, Treasury's met with us here. Chairperson, may I ask that we ask Treasury to come to this portfolio meeting and discuss the process with us that have taken place and what the various challenges are facing SASA, so we can hear it out of Treasury's mouth. It might be interesting to hear what processes have been followed, what discussions have been placed, and so that we understand the challenges that SASA has had.
Maybe in order not to get confused, I want to respond exactly to what you have said. The last meeting we had when the minister was here, Honorable Wilson, the minister explained these technical task teams of government coming together, government to government, to sort the matter out. The minister said, if the portfolio committees deems it correct to call in all these banks, let it be. So I would not want this matter as if it's coming only now. It's a matter that when we do oversight, those who are involved will also include in having briefings with them in this arrangement. So that must fall as a proposal. It was suggested by the very minister. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'd appreciate that. I think that would probably throw a light on a lot of issues. And then just finally, Chair, I was at the presentation for the RFI on the...
It's already in this program that is for this year, that they will be coming to come and brief us on all these issues you have raised. Thank you.
And just in closing, a question. I was at the presentation where they were for the RFI on the banking sector, the one that was held in Pretoria. Sorry, can someone clarify for me? It was a Mr. Van Dijk, who did the presentation.
Sorry, Honourable Member. You cannot take us to another meeting.
No, it's part of this, Chair, because it was part of the proposal.
No, but let's not have a dialogue on this one. That proposal belongs there. If you attended, you were not representing this committee. You had to have asked us. We are not interested in what is not being presented here.
Thank you, Chair. Don't worry. I'll put a written question to the minister. Thank you.
Are you through with other questions?
I am done, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ngiyabonga che. Okokuqala ndizawuthi siqhentsa ingoma enye, siqhentsela ingoma enye apha. But ke kunyanzelekile, ibalulekile, it's a big issue. Kunento evakalayo endivayo oko siqalile singene apha. Seyifana ne-slogan. Ithi Hoza first April 2017. Iyandiwarisha because okokuqala i-CPS lena sithi yaphelelwa on the 31st March 2017. At the same time kufuneka abahlekazi benze i-extension yayo futhi kwi-constitutional court. Ekubeni kwayona CPS ibi illegal. So into endizibuza yona ke ngokunake ixesha libe lide nyhani bengayanga. What if i-constitutional court le kwakhona ayivumi iya disagree? Kuzokwenzeka ntoni? What is another plan? Ngoba kaloku iyacaca ukuthi angeke kube khona i-payments ngoba kaloku le 31st March ngendlela endiyibheke ngakhona ifikile. Nansi i-1st ka-April, which is our slogan in this house namhlanje into endiyivileyo. So ndicinga uba inoba ke i-beneficiaries zethu sizawuluza phaya kwi-1st zika-April. Enkosi chairperson wam. Thank you.
So I'm summing what she has been saying, that's all. Honorable Polani?
No, Chairperson, thank you. One would like to welcome the report and thanks the CEO. Let me start by saying that SASSA Act of 2004 is to ensure that to provide the service to the vulnerable one, especially those who are rooted in poverty. And we know that the triple challenges that are facing us as a country, that poverty, unemployment, and equity, but inequality, but one will focus only on the issues of poverty, as we know that the department is assisting on that. Maybe on the issue of his slogan, I would like what my fellow honorable member just said. The presentation, Chairperson, has assisted, especially the millions of South Africans that are watching us now, and it has even assisted us as a committee, the way forward that SASSA is bringing it to us, because in November there was no way forward, but now there is a way forward. We see where the SASSA chain is going. But one need to emphasize that as a proud member of the ANC, and the ANC is a ruling party and the government of the day, we need to applaud the ANC on the work that it has done through the SASSA on the payment of the grant. Plus minus 18 million people are receiving the grant. If those are doing maths, they can go prior to 1993, how many people were receiving the grant. It was lesser than what we are seeing now. On the 23 years of democracy, the ANC government is doing well, and on the issue of SASSA, we can bring it. Will people expect on the 23 years, we must do everything that didn't happen in four decades? When you say plus minus 18 people are out of the net of the poverty, these are the things that maybe we need to check. Those who are doing the research must tell us that are we not doing well as the government of the ANC or not. Coming back to the presentation, Chair, I think you'll allow me, I wanted to go pages by pages. In terms of the background, the presenter has presented that. I will go especially to the fourth and the last point, the interim tax team. Okay, first let me start on the ministerial advisory team. We are fortunate as this committee that there is a ministerial tax team that is going in all provinces, in all matters in social development, not only on the issues of SASA, but in all matters, which is holistically. Then I will go down to the integral tax team that was appointed by the CEO of SASA together with the DG and the DG of National Treasury and South African Reserve Bank. I think we must take this thing as a milestone, especially on the challenges that are facing SASA. But one need to pose a question in terms of this tax team, maybe the CEO. For us, you need to give us more information as the committee that when is the tax team started and how many meetings, you know, because you can see it's a highly technical tax team that will take SASA forward, especially where there's a South African Reserve Bank. Maybe one will be silly to say you must include even if SARS to come and assist. So we'll be having three queries in terms of the financial sector in the country. So that in terms of the capacity, Chair, we are not lacking as South Africa. We are taking something forward. But let us check on the issues of risk on that, what is happening. On the second page, page 3, on the progress of the payment of SASA, or on the issue of the banking system, I think on the biometrics, the presenter did tell us well, and we know that this is not for the first time that SASA went to the bank and whatever. There were challenges, especially for those who are in rural areas, to get inside to the banks and whatever. That's why we were pushing the issue of infrastructure in all 9 provinces, especially down there to the rural areas. One will come on the issue of SAPO. I welcome that to say, SAPO is our brand. It's South African Post Office Service that we need to build a financial capacity on it. Though we know that it's just from SAPO is from the ICU. We know on the issues of governance, chair management and your finances, things were not well. But when we said from yesterday on the report, they're saying there's a progress. So one would say, when it comes to the option, when you come to the option 5, saying you want to procure the service to SAPO, I don't think it will be much safer when you check the risk, because it's just from one day from ICU. So it's on the medical ward. Maybe let us put it aside and we consider what we are having now. You know, the current, they can say it's an animal. It's not an animal, but for the mere fact, we want on the first, people must get grants. What we need to do, the option 1 is the one that is holding, but we must take charge and it must be accountable to us, especially on the fears that millions of South Africans are having that chairperson and CEO to say, if we are taking option 1, what's going to happen? What is the chain? You know, let us come with a chain for it. Let the time frame be open to the gogo that's sitting down there, the one maybe that was affected with the deduction. Remember, people outside, they won't know the issue of CPS and King N1. What's Net 1? What is the problem they were crying about, the deduction that were going on? So let the department go to the people, down, talk to the people to say, this is what we are coming with. Whether we like it or not, if we cannot take the option 1, what my fellow member saying, there's a national disaster. We will be creating national disaster because for now we don't have a system. We don't have a system. Let's remind ourselves, Chair, that we are only 23 years in government, not 40 years. For those who are from the apartheid era, it was 40. Tina, we are still having 23, so we have years to go to that 40. So on that, let us put faith on them and make sure, because people are taking wrong messages outside to say there won't be money.
And they will march to our houses, some of them, because they know that we are sitting in this committee. So tell them, go, let the media go, the communication go to them, and tell them that there's no crisis, but the department is handling this matter well. But Chair, I think with the committee, because we are opening next week, we need, in every meeting, we need to meet SASSA so that we see the timeline that things are happening. But on that note, no, Chair, no, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. And I would like to support the previous speaker on option one and on the option of circle as time go on. But I think what is going to be important, because you always brought it up in all our meetings, is your communication strategy. I marked it off here, and I want you to have one message going through to our people. Because I was quite surprised. I don't like going on rumors, but because the media is here, they stated within papers that CPS is wrapping up operations with the department in January. And people on the ground don't understand those things. That's, I say, one communication strategy. Because we as parliamentarians know that when it comes to the contract, it ends the 31st of March. So how can you say you're wrapping up January month? And we know it is not like that. So your communication strategy has to be very sharp. Because to me, we are showing, how do I put the word, by saying we are making our people uncertain on the ground, people within this committee. We know, like the previous speaker said, for 23 years we're paying out grants, which is better than the apartheid era. And we did it without fail. So your communication strategy should be one message. Because we said, yeah, we're accepting the option one. We're looking at the recommendation. We say you are going to report back. And we tell you what to do. Then, the risk management factor, that strategy, Honourable Chair, we have to have it as a committee, that we can look at this strategy and advise you as we go on. But there is one question that I would like to ask, you know, because I was commenting. It is on that dormant account. You have to be very clear with us on your dormant accounts, because there were three dormant accounts, but it was not SASAS that you reported to us in the annual report, and you are reviewing it. So I think when you come back, if you don't have the answers today, we want to hear about this account and whether this account is empty. Because we have the three dormant accounts that still has money in it, and the Auditor General is giving you the clear each time you come here to say the money is still there. It's not being used for something else. And then the Honourable Chairperson, I agree with you. Now I'm not going to speak to meetings, because as we go along, we can discuss, you know, all the role players we are bringing in. And I don't think there is anything else at the moment. If we're going to see SASSA at least for 20 minutes in all our meetings, or half an hour, hour, just to give us a report back. Thank you. And I know the ANC government will deliver, and they will deliver the 1st of April. Thank you.
you want to be on the floor?
Okay, no, thank you, Chair. I think my colleagues have covered me because they have
concentrated on the bone of contention. That's why when we started, I said that we will not be sidetracked, we'll focus. And for me, the bone of contention was, come April 2017, will 17 million grant beneficiaries benefit? And I think the CEO has responded in the affirmative, and is public and is on record, that yes, on the 1st April 2017, all the grant beneficiaries will be paid. For me, this is significant, this is very important, because it clarifies the public domain narrative that has been there for quite some time. And that narrative has been that grants will not be paid on the 1 April 2017. But as a member of this portfolio committee and as a member of the ruling party, I think at the heart of the matter was whether our government, as a caring government, in terms of its approach to children, to senior citizens, the disabled and the homeless, whether they will be able to remain central to our security net, which in the past we used to call welfare. Mm-hmm. And it is clear that come April 27, 2017, this responsibility will be realized. So I am comfortable with that. Well, we are tasked with the responsibility as public representatives, Honorable Chair, that we must play our oversight role. But you must also distinguish that from micromanaging. We are not dealing with operational issues. That's not our mandate. We oversight, but the nitty-gritties are operational, are not our issues. And we can't micromanage the department. Ours is to say, come this time, will you be able to deliver? But the mechanics and the technicalities, we are not sitting in any of those committees. So we must be realistic, we must be pragmatic. We must not create unnecessary expectations, etc. So this brings me, Chair, as I'm about to conclude it, we must not tell lies and we must not claim easy victories. This is what Amilcar Cabral said many, many years ago, and it applies even up to today. The reason why I'm quoting this is that just this in this portfolio committee, our colleagues have raised terms like crisis, 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 which is a complete negative narrative. Yes, we cannot deny the fact that there may be challenges here and there, but no problem is insurmountable. So I think the challenge has been that if you pose a wrong question, you are bound to come to wrong conclusions. And this is what clearly came out of this meeting. But I think as a member of this portfolio committee, it will be irresponsible for me not to react to the veil attack on the person of the minister and the integrity of the minister by the IFP Honorable Member Van der Merwe. I think your attack on the minister cannot go unchallenged. First, Honorable Chair, it is unfair to attack the minister in her absence. She will not be able to respond because she was clear, she was saying the leadership. So she's personal.
Chairperson, on a point of order, when did I attack the minister? And why
not,
is he replying to me, Chairperson? I did not attack the minister.
I have given you a chance to...
You've used two opportunities, Honourable Member. I simply asked the whereabouts of the minister because it goes to the heart of whether she misled Parliament or not. It's not going to be right for the Honourable Member to always attack me when I've asked legitimate questions. We dealt with the matter. I did not attack the minister.
Honourable Van der Merwe, I had not acknowledged you. And Honorable Mabilo allowed you to say everything you wanted to say without interjecting. I don't understand why you don't want to listen to what constructively is being said to you. Because definitely so,
we are aware that you spoke very well, very much about the leadership of the minister and so on. So allow the honourable member the right to say how he feels about your utterances. Please do that.
Thank you, Chair, for protecting me. As I said, I'm focused, Chair. I will not be derailed. I will not be deterred. I think it is unfair, Chair. And for me, it borders on extreme arrogance. And it is irresponsible. There's a difference between criticism, whether negative or constructive. But there's a difference between an attack. And it will be fair and proper that that matter is handled properly. Now, on the overall, Chair, on the options tabled, I think I support my two colleagues, Honorable Malchas and Honorable Bulane Mokotsi, in relation to what is at best given the current situation. We cannot be in a position to plunge the country into a different direction, a trajectory. So what is important to us as a caring member of that of this portfolio committee is for us to ensure that the department through SASA actualizes their core mandate of paying on the 1st April. I'm heartened by page 2 of the second page 2, the last two bullet points after background. The CEO has reported that an interim task team was appointed by the CEO of SASA together with the DG, DSG, all the other departments mentioned there to assist in finding appropriate solutions to the transition over the short and medium term. For me, this is fundamental. I support that. Secondly, the team evaluated the risks associated with the transition options which exist for SASA to ensure that grants are paid only. So all the mitigating factors that they have taken in consideration really takes us forward, Chair. So I'm comfortable with supporting formally, Chair, option one. And all the other theatrics are not going to assist. We are parliamentarians. We earn our hefty salaries. What is important, the members there, the 17 beneficiaries, are not interested in the mechanics, in the technicalities. They're just interested in on the 1 April they receive. And if that is achieved, I cannot be against it. So I formally support that aspect, Chair. So the dominant narrative is not going to assist us. Thank you, Chair.
I need to say this, and I want to be honest in this committee. I always ensure that I abide with the mandate that Parliament gives us. But I really feel very, very bad when members do not want to wait up until they are under this roof in this constitutional arrangement for them to go and brief our people out there. And without necessarily having got information from the horse's mouth when the horse is here. I'm very much, honorable members, unhappy by the letter I received, which said I must summon the minister. The minister receives correspondence together with the invitation in each and every meeting of this portfolio committee. For members of this committee, without any reason, write a letter to me as a chair, summon the minister, so that the narrative that is going to be created is that the minister was here being summoned and not coming as a member of this committee to share life and to interact with all members. Secondly, on the issue of Ethiopia and on the issue of the Lekgotla and the Women's League, I'm very worried because members tend not to be members of a political party when it comes to the minister having a constitutional right to be a member of a political party. That's why she is a minister. It seems it's a shame that she is a member of the ANC Women's League. And even if she represents women in a particular world forum, she's being blamed. The time that the minister used to go to Ethiopia was the Likhutla time, because that time was allocated to Likhutla of this country, and the Likhutla then allowed the minister to do whatever she was supposed, if it was going to assist the unity in Africa. And secondly, no member can begin to say issues of the 17 million people is a priority to them, because the ANC took this country and decided to have a particular arrangement, the SASA arrangement, in order to perfect the system. Remember, you would only get a grant after 3 months, which was quarterly. Quarterly, now it is monthly, which means it requires more hands, more capacity to manage it. For the honorable member to say what has been done since the other days, because there's an executive, because there's an executive, can I tell you that this work is additional to the work that is being done of a preparing payment on monthly basis. The issue of correcting matters, transition, etc., because our transition is one day we will all be equal and there will be no need for SASA. I just wanted to actually put the record straight. We will never at any given stage hide information, but we will not allow a situation where we come here and then you also come with an assessment, a narrative that says the department was not ready, and so on. So, good people, I think at some stage we need an in-committee meeting, and we sit here as members of this portfolio committee and decide on what we should do in order to be perfect. Honorable Pulan.
No, Chairperson, just adding on what you said, maybe in future, in your meeting, let us not allow to use our political part here. The issue of saying that the president of the ANC went to the AU to launch the tax team, it was out of order. I'm a member of the ANC, and I feel offended on that. I'm a member of the ANC Women's League in Johannesburg in good standing. So in future, Chairperson, we mustn't allow opposition, because we are not using their leader's name in any of our meetings.
Point of order, Chair. Point of order.
Honorable Wilson, you must withdraw what you said about my president of the ANC Women's League, because you did say it in this committee.
With all due respect, Chair, the ANC Women's League put out a press release stating that she had gone to Ethiopia to launch an ANC Women's League task team and a youth desk in Ethiopia. It was a Women's League press release. I will not retract. Thank you.
I had not yet. Chair, it has nothing to do with her. It has nothing to do with her. She has no say in that regard. That's extreme arrogance.
We don't talk about your leaders.
Count, it does matter.
No, we don't talk about your leaders. I'm saying in future, whatever that you read in the media, you mustn't bring it in this committee. We're supposed to talk about the SASA issue. Leave our minister, leave our president of the Women's League out of this. She's not reporting to you, she's reporting to Parliament.
Please, let's not deteriorate this very good meeting. And we're dealing with critical issues here, that of poverty alleviation, peace and stability, because when others are hungry, they might be irritable. Can we then, because I haven't really heard anything, but what I've really heard is that I want to be specific. I haven't heard anyone opposing the fact that we support this presentation. It is meaningful. It has given us what we originally requested in writing, briefing on the state of readiness, and therefore mapping the roadmap forward. these two have been achieved when I sit here and listen. And if anyone asks me, what is it, I can tabulate it verbally, word by word, that there is work that was done, that it is at a particular stage, and that no pronouncement are very clear up until we have gone to the Constitutional Court. Then other issues are a road map. They should go and do their work. But honourable members, I want to be honourable by saying, as soon as we have an opportunity, the minister will come, because the cry was that she has not come. If you say, very soon, the minister is going to be invited and not summoned to come and share further light on the issues that members still, they would be better presented by the minister. That will be arranged. Fully agreeing, fully complying to the fact that we must make the presentation of SASSA a standing item each time there's a committee, or go out of our way, call another meeting if there are issues, new developments that we need to address as an oversight committee. I thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Are you?